10:05, welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO. Online at KFYO.com and with the Radio Pup app. You can listen to the show wherever you travel. Even if you're running for state senate, you can pick up KFYO wherever you go. Even without the Radio Pup app, you can listen to us. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Joining me in studio to talk about his campaign for Texas State Senate, SD-28, Jody Arrington. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chad. I'm glad to be here. Good morning.
Well, appreciate you coming in. This is obviously a condensed campaign schedule. Not sure that everyone was really prepared for that in any of the campaigns.
We're in full sprint.
Yeah.
Full sprint.
What have you been obviously, you've been traveling throughout the district. Tell people, number one, for those who they've heard that Jody Arrington is running, but they still don't know who Jody Arrington is. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for that opportunity. Yeah, Jody Arrington is a West Texan who grew up in Plainview. My dad was in the agriculture business. It wasn't just the economy depends on ag in West Texas. Our livelihood depended on it. My mom was a school teacher. I was inspired by a school teacher to get into politics my junior year in high school. Tech guy. I graduated from Tech, got 2 degrees from Tech. Then worked for a guy named George W. Bush as governor and then president, spent 10 years with him, back to Texas Tech. It's been like Christmas every day with Kent Hance and being able to try to move our alma mater to the next level of excellence. I think we've left it better and stronger than we found it. We've been in tremendous growth, thousands of students on the enrollment side, and tripled research, tier one, lots of good things. So it's been great to be back home.
Why decide to run for Texas State Senate?
Oh my gosh, this is the most important elected office for our region and our way of life, and our future economic growth and prosperity. I had a front row seat at Tech, Chad, to you know, Kent Hance and myself and others took a lot of credit for the growth of Texas Tech, and rightfully so, I think, because Kent Hance was a very strong leader, and we had a good team, and we did our job. But the untold story and the unsung hero was a guy named Bob Duncan, and he was down in Austin just wiring it for West Texas in terms of the tier one and setting those criteria, in terms of the formula funding that we've needed to grow and make sure we have the seats in the classrooms to sustain this growth. Appreciate just how important it has been to have a doer and a leader like Bob Duncan. And so it's because of that and because I love West Texas, and I think I've had a lot of great experiences. I've got a lot of good relationships, and I'd like to leverage all of that for continued strong, effective leadership in Austin.
We're visiting with Jody Arrington, running for Texas State Senate. You can visit his website at jodyarrington.com. Let's talk a little bit about your travels. You've been obviously traveling across this district, a huge area. What are you hearing from people as far as the most important issues to them going into this next legislative session?
First of all, it's one of the best parts of the process and of this, you know, of being a candidate. You meet great people all over 51 counties. Mm-hmm. And they're in many respects, they're just like you and me, and we're all concerned about border security and the illegal immigration. That's the number one issue on the minds of Texans and certainly the folks in District 28. They want to be assured that they'll be safe and secure, which is the number one responsibility of our government officials. The federal government has failed to do that. You know that. Your listeners know that. So Texans are going to have to lead. And so they want to know that the person they elect is going to go to Austin and get things done, and get things done with respect to securing the border and cutting off the magnets. I mean, we need to stop the bleeding, okay? No doubt about it. More troops, train more law enforcement officers, but we've got to stop the providing the services and opportunities to folks who don't pay taxes, who don't have a stake in our future, and who aren't standing in line like a million others every year to become American citizens. So that's the top one. That's it.
What services do you want?
Well,
to cut?
I mean, there, any service that we provide to somebody that the taxpayers fund, that are rightfully rightfully those who pay taxes and the family members of those who pay taxes. That's healthcare. That's education. I mean, in-state tuition. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that universities should provide in-state tuition for folks who are here illegally. That's absurd to me. There are a number of things, but it's really under all taxpayer-funded benefits and services, because it's supply and demand, Chad. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a demand for a better quality life. I recognize that. I'm sure you do and your listeners. People want a better quality life in Central and South America. But as long as we continue to provide that better quality of life, they're going to come. I don't care how high you build the fence or how many troops you put on, you know, boots on the ground. That's actually the most expensive way to fix the problem. You have to work on both fronts, and cutting off the magnets is critically important. And I talk about that everywhere I go, and it resonates. The second issue is water. I don't have to tell you or your listeners, but if the water dries up, West Texas dries up and blows away, and we are no longer going to see the growth and that we've seen at Texas Tech and the ag and energy. So the number one issue with water is to keep Austin from quote unquote managing our water centrally. The more Austin gets involved, the less we have to say about stewarding our natural resources. The less we have the opportunity to continue to grow our ag and energy sector. So that'd be number two.
Let me ask you about water real quick, because we've had on the show before, and I'm sure you've had these questions asked before. There's a group out there, Protect Water Rights.
Yeah,
that's out. Maybe they've even spoken to you. Those who have water on their land, under their land, yeah. I guess. According to courts, it belongs to them. Yeah. However, there are some people who say, no, it doesn't really belong to you. Where do you come down on this?
I think it belongs to them. I think it's a fundamental right as an American. I think it's quintessential for Texans to believe in private property rights. And I think the water rights of those who own the property are theirs. I do think that as long as you're making water decisions locally, that is, those who have wells over the same aquifer, as long as those individuals and that community is managing the use of that water, then I think you are protecting the water rights of those property owners. If Austin decides to get involved and make those decisions, that's a taking. At that point, the right to capture has been violated, and they have taken our water, our property, our agriculture, and our economy. I feel that strongly about it. And we've got to have somebody in Austin that's going to fight for our water and property rights. So,
visiting with Jody Arrington, you can visit his website at jodyarrington.com. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. We are going to try to get to some caller questions, but we've got a lot to go through. So if you're on hold, stay where you are. We'll try to get you in. We'll be right back. Back on the Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Jody Arrington, candidate for Texas State Senate, District 28, large district, 51 counties. It's huge. He's been traveling all over the place. Let's talk about some issues that will probably most likely come up in the next legislative session, where you kind of fall on some of these issues. Just about anyone running in this area of the state is going to say that they're pro-guns, they're pro-Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to two issues that will most likely come up, in the session, campus carry and open carry. Where do you fall on those two subjects?
I think I want the good guys to be able to defend the other good guys, and because there are bad people out there that are not afraid or crazy enough to use guns like at Virginia Tech. So I'd feel a lot safer if there were trained, licensed gun owners around to take out the bad guy.
So yes on campus, yes on open?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other issues that will, of course, come up will be budget issues. Last legislative session, obviously, there was a little bit more money that was put into the budget. That was criticized by some, saying that it was spending too much money, too much of the taxpayer money. What do you think about that? How do you cut down on how much is spent, or do we need to spend as much money as we're spending?
Well, I think you always have to, as stewards of taxpayer monies, ask the questions, are these needs or wants? And you've got to prioritize according to where we are as a state and what's most important. We talked about immigration. We talked about water. I think that the $2 billion to implement the water plan was a good choice. We don't have to, we can't overstate the importance of water to our economy. I think the Texas economy, but it's imperative for the folks out here in West Texas. So you've got to demand the most efficient operations within these agencies and programs, and I think you have to prioritize. But you've got to make the decisions that will keep Texas growing. I mean, we have a good problem. We're growing, and we've got to figure out how to keep our state on the path of growth with respect to infrastructure, critical infrastructure, that's transportation and water. And I understand we're bringing 80,000 students online to the Texas public school system every year. That's tremendous. So we've got to keep up with that growth, but we need to do it in a fiscally responsible way. We need to live within our means. But I think using that $2 billion, I think we need a reserve. We don't need to spend all of the rainy day fund just because we have it. That's not responsible. You don't do that in your own personal life, and business folks have reserves for their rainy days. But to use some of it to continue our path of growth and economic prosperity is wise, it's prudent, it's responsible, and I would have been for that.
Where do you come down on the issue of school choice, school vouchers? Where are you on that?
I'm for choice because I'm for competition, and I think competition breeds excellence and efficiency, and the consumer, in this case, the students, we need to be thinking about the students and the parents. They win. They win when there's choice. But I'll tell you, I'm a big proponent of public education. It is a public good, and we have a stake in it, Chad. We have a stake in having the best quality of education for the citizens of Texas. So you pay a little now, or you pay a lot later, in terms of preparing these students to be tax-paying, productive contributors to our state and the future leaders of our state. So we've got to make public education a priority, but I'm all for choice. And I've said this before, my brother homeschools, my brother who's a pastor in the Houston area, and I think that's great. I mean, that's his choice to do that, and it works for them, and I support that and applaud that, but we're all paying into a public education system because we all benefit, and we all have a stake in it. So I feel strongly about that. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Miss Becky Taylor, public school teacher at Plainview High School, who inspired me to do this. This, you know, it's over 20 years ago, and here I am. I still believe, because of Ronald Reagan and Miss Becky Taylor, that one person can make a difference. And so here I am on your morning show talking about wanting to represent the good people of District 28 and all that matters to us in West Texas.
This is, and we're visiting with Jody Arrington, this is obviously a packed race. Many different candidates, but at the end of the day, and this is not politically correct to say, but it's really a race between two people, and it's become a money war, an endorsement war between you and Representative Charles Perry. I know on your social media accounts you talk about We need leadership, not politics. Yes. You talk about how there needs to be a little bit more of a push than just voting party lines.
Yes.
That seems to be, and tell me if I'm wrong here, kind of a shot at Charles Perry in a way. Is it? And what are some things that you think you would do differently than what his resume suggests? Sure. Because that's what a lot of people look at. Sure. Is he's got a voting record. You obviously don't.
Yeah.
What would you do differently?
I've got a doing record. My doing record is growing Texas Tech as the chairman of the Enrollment Growth Task Force. Thousands of students. It was a team effort, but I played a leadership role there. It's bringing millions of dollars in economic impact in research, development, jobs. One example is a $5 million investment of the state in becoming the National Center of Excellence in Wind Energy Research and Commercialization. And we returned $53 million out at Reese. $53 million of the five. In return to the state's economy and to West Texas economy. That's more sticks in the ground. That's a national lab moving their wind turbines. That's Pantex being powered by wind energy. That's corporate folks building turbines down here and testing for new turbine technology. So I've got a doing record, and that's what I want the voters to know in very short order. But you make a great point, and it's true. I believe leadership is the real issue here. And to me, leadership, what I've learned over the years from growing up in West Texas, and from my time, 10 years on the front row of watching President Bush and working with Kent Hance and other great West Texas leaders, is that first and foremost, it's making sure you know whose interest you represent. It's not your interest. It's not special interest. It's the interest of the people that sent you down there and are counting on you to fight for their water rights. Okay, as example number one. Number two, it's working with everybody, Chad. I mean, we've got to respect everybody. You have to at your radio station. You have to in your marriage. You had to when you played sports. Why should politics be any different? My experience as a young, impressionable guy who wanted to be a leader one day and run for state senate, you know, I don't think I really thought about state senate, but to run for office, you know what I saw? I saw a man named George W. Bush, who was governor, come down from his office to the Speaker of the House, Pete Laney, and have breakfast every week with him and Bob Bullock, and they had a different letter outside of their name. But they broke bread, they talked, and they found a way to identify the biggest problems and to move our state forward and leave it better than they found it. To me, that's leadership. The third aspect of leadership, and the most important, is results. People expect you guys have to do your job. You don't do your job, and the folks who listen to you, they don't have a job. So we have to send people down there who will, as somebody told me, I love this saying, deliver the mail, like Bob Duncan. What he did for us to become a National Research University Fund to qualify for that, and the tens of millions of dollars that we've received as a result. So you've got to remember that it's about doing, it's about delivering results. And I did that my whole career, even in Washington at the FDIC. I downsized an agency with a fellow West Texan and Chairman Don Powell to the tune of tens of millions of dollars.
Let me ask you about this, another issue that has come up, and it's been a big issue here in Lubbock, Texas. It's the 1 cent sales tax. Imagine Lubbock Together, many of which, the AJ ran a story, many of the supporters of Imagine Lubbock have donated to your campaign. Yeah. Because they feel as though Charles Perry won't be as receptive to that 1 cent sales tax, because he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And neither was anyone else, including yeah. Bob Duncan and John Frullo. Where are you on this? Do you support it?
No.
And what would you do going forward on
yeah.
this?
Well, I'm against the raising sales tax in Lubbock, number one. Number two, I wasn't involved in Imagine Lubbock and the chamber's efforts to put that on their agenda as an option. What I understood was, is that they talked about that being an option if the voters decided they wanted to move forward with some of the projects coming out of the strategic plan.
But that would take a change in the legislature in order for that to happen.
That's right. It would have taken a change. But my understanding is that's why it was even on the table. And it's not on the table anymore. I've talked to the folks at the city.
Well, they say it is. They want to continue to push it. And AJ article, Connie Wharton says
I wouldn't carry it. In my opinion, it's a moot issue. And the people I've talked to are not pushing it. The people I've talked to aren't. And I don't think it's palatable. I don't think it would. And I don't believe that the citizens at this time are ready to have that option. Again, the issue wasn't to raise sales tax. It was to give the citizens the option to vote if they wanted to finance any of these projects that way. I'm a local control guy. So right. I was just interested to hear what the answer was from the community, and the community's answer is they don't want to raise sales tax, and neither do I.
All right. Jody Arrington, jodyarrington.com. I know you've got to get out of here, right?
Yeah, I do.
Or can you stick around another segment?
I've got a meeting with the Lubbock Avalanche Journal editorial board. So
come back in studio then with us. All right, Jody Arrington, jodyarrington.com. I can tell he wants to stick around instead of going over to the
agent. I do.
We'll be right back.